Well, it's good to be here. Good to see you all. We certainly didn't think that our first Sunday morning up here, we would be in church with everyone. So that's pretty sweet. What a blessing. I better get my notes out. But yeah, we arrived on Sunday last week, and Pastor Rob and Pete came and picked us, came and got the U-Haul from Prince Rupert, so we didn't have to drive the U-Haul down those puddly roads, and so that was sweet. And then we arrived, and we've been just, very blessed by the incredible generosity that you've shown us and welcoming and hospitality. We've gotten meals brought to us. We've been out for a couple of meals at people's houses, and we've received gift cards and pantry items and all these things, and we're just kind of blown away. So thanks so much, and for the people online too, thank you very much from Sarah and I and from Jed too. He's partaking as well. This morning, if you have your Bible, why don't you open it, and we're going to open to the book of Ephesians in the New Testament and chapter 4. So I'll let you turn there. When I did this church internship back in the day, whenever we'd look up the scripture, we'd always hold the Bible up, not like this with the binding, and then you had to have a race, but anyway. Ephesians 4. So the week before we came up here, my last Sunday at our church in Maple Ridge, called Jubilee, I showed up early, and then I got a phone call from our pastor there pretty quickly, and he just wanted to make sure that all the pieces were in place, because he said he'd slipped the night before on the steps, on the ice, and his back had hurt, and he hadn't really slept all night, and he couldn't move, and but he was still planning to come do the sermon. And so we were like, are you sure you should come in? And then a little while later, he called and said, actually, I should go to the hospital probably this morning, not church. And it was good because he'd broken two ribs and like punctured his lung a bit. So it's good he went to the hospital. And so I said, well, can I lead in something? I'm not going to write a sermon this morning in an hour, but maybe I could just lead out in kind of like a discussion time. And so I did that. And so I'm sitting there the morning, I'm thinking, what do I prep in an hour, And so the verses that came to my heart were from Ephesians 4. And I think they came pretty easily because it's some verses that are close to my heart and I've thought a lot about. And even in this process of because of course you guys have been in process looking for a pastor and I've been in process looking for a church to work at. And even in that process, I've meditated on these words a lot. And so we did. We did a bit of a discussion thing that Sunday. And then as I was thinking, what would be good to share with you guys this morning, I thought, this is a great passage, and it's part of my heart too, so hopefully you can get to know me a little bit and my heart for the church, and hopefully, of course, we can all just be encouraged and built up by the Word of God. So if you're there in Ephesians chapter 4, let's read together. We're going to read verses 1 through 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. It's the word of God this morning. So there's a lot there. You know, it's 16 verses. I want to pick out a couple of themes that run through these verses, the themes of unity and maturity. As God's people, we're called to unity, to be united together, and to maturity, to grow up together. And that requires us to bear with one another in love and to build one another up in love. And so that's what we're going to look at as we jump into the passage. So we're in Ephesians. Paul's just, if you know Ephesians 3, he's just prayed this beautiful prayer for the Ephesian church that they together know the love of Christ. And now he starts to talk about some characteristics, some lifestyle characteristics that are fitting for Christians. And so he gives this list at the beginning of our passage. And then at the end of the list, this is the last thing he says. He says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Making efforts to keep the church united and Christians at peace with one another is one of the characteristics that Paul says is a fitting characteristic for a Christian. And so why is that? Why is that one of the kind of Christian characteristics that says that Paul says, you know, this is fitting for someone who has received the calling you have? I think he explains that as he goes on. Right after he says that, he starts talking about the things that we have in common. And I think that's a great place to start for us this morning. He says, we need to make efforts to stay united because look at what we have in common. Look at what we have in common. I want to be careful of saying especially now because I haven't experienced every age in history, but we feel it now, I think, this polarization that happens and this division and pick a camp, whether it's politics or COVID responses or denominations or whatever. We feel this, you know, pick a camp and fight the other camp. And Paul says, for Christians, though, look at what we have in common. And isn't that greater than what might divide us? And so he uses these one phrases. He says, we have one Spirit, one body. So let's look at those a little bit. He says, we have one hope. Every Christian is called into one hope. We've heard this message of hope for us. We've heard that Jesus has died to forgive our sins and that he's risen again to give us full and eternal life in relationship with him. We have hope that the King is alive, that he's conquered death, that he's bringing a kingdom of righteousness that will cover the whole earth. That's our hope. It's a big hope. It's bigger than just the pandemic ending, though we're all looking forward to that, I know. It's bigger than, you know, hope in some new human government, although, you know, we can say we might want to change some things if we were up there. It's hope greater than some, like, experience that we chase here. It's hope bigger than, you know, a cushy bank account where we feel safe and secure. It's this hope of resurrection life and forgiveness of sins in Jesus and a kingdom where righteousness is at home. That's what we have in common. We have the same hope. We share a hope as Christians. Second thing I want to pull out is Paul, through this, he says we have one Spirit and we have one Lord and we have one God and Father. Amen. This God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is the God we have in common. Paul says we have one faith. This is the God whom we have faith in. Together, we trust this God. And that's what we have in common. One baptism. I think that is a bit of an extension on the one faith idea. We're all baptized into this same name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have this commonality between us. And so Paul says we're one body. Whether we're maskers or anti-maskers or vaxxers or anti-vaxxers or on this political party or Pentecostal or Baptist or whatever, we're one body. Our commonalities are great enough to pull us together. And that was one of the things as I was in this process, which is it's kind of a weird process, honestly, like looking for what church, like you're being interviewed, but you're also like, do I want to go to that church or do I want to work at that church? But that was one of the things that really attracted me here because I think you guys get this. You get this idea of unity and the commonality that we have as Christians. In some of my earlier conversations with Pastor Rob, you know, finding out he's the president of the local ministerial, working with the pastors in the city to get together and say, yeah, we have these things in common. I know the Baptist church pastor preached here in the summer. I just think that's really neat. And then when we were here in November and meeting with the board, that was affirmed again. Like, yeah, we want to be about the whole church, because what we have in common is bigger than what divides us. There are differences, of course, between Christians, but for people who share this hope and this faith, this trust in this God, the differences are peripheral. What we have in common is central. And so, Paul says, let's make every effort. Back to that. Make every effort to keep unity in the Spirit and peace. So then in the second half of our passage, Paul talks about unity again. And he pictures unity as kind of this goal that we're all growing up into. And he couples the picture of unity with the idea of maturity. So we're growing into unity, and we're also growing into maturity. And this is verse 13. This verse is actually, I have a sign of it, and it used to hang on my wall at home, and now it's in my office. So if you come in, you'll see it there. It's verse 13. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. September 22nd, 2020, we met our little guy, Jedediah, for the first time, face to face. And, you know, there's just these vivid memories of that moment, those moments. And I remember being beside the table where Jed was lying and holding his hand for the very first time. And then the pediatrician came by and, like, checked. I don't really know what they do, but check the joints or whatever. They pull the legs and say, click, click, click. It's all clicking like it should. And so we're overjoyed to meet Jed. And then we're thankful, right, that he's together. He is healthy and he's doing well. And we trust the pediatrician more than ourselves. And then something crazy happened. Almost immediately, Jed started to change and grow and mature. And it was crazy. The first year of Jed's life, that was when people asked me, how's it been? I'm like, it's crazy the rate of change. It's mind-boggling. It's like people talk about stages, you know? It's like, oh yeah, there's this stage, and then there's this stage, like it's some kind of like neat little thing. I'm like, man, Jed was in a new stage like every few days. It felt like that, right? It's like, hey, he's doing this. He didn't do that yesterday. And then the next day, it's like, okay, and now he's doing this. Jed was growing and changing and maturing, and that, more than just the little hip click check at the beginning, that was an indication that he was healthy and he was doing what he was supposed to be doing. And that's the picture that Paul gives of us. We're to grow into unity, and we're also to grow up, to grow into maturity. And the mature body of Christ looks like Christ. That's the picture, that we grow up until together, united, we look like Jesus to the world. So the unity that that Paul's talking about here, then, it's more than kind of like just tolerance. It's more than like, you know, I'm good, you're good, it's all good. Let's just chill out. Yeah, we can get along. It's this call to come together and grow up into Jesus, into looking like Jesus. The church of TPA, the church across Terrace, across BC, across Canada, across the world, is called to be united and to grow to look like Jesus. And the language that Paul uses is even more staggering. It's to represent the fullness of Jesus. It's crazy, like it's mind-boggling. But this is what Paul says. At the church, we're going to grow until we represent the fullness of Jesus on earth. So the joint picture is one of us as Christians growing into a united body and at the same time growing into a mature body that looks like Jesus to the world. And that's what Jesus prays for. If you know John 17, he's been praying for his 12 disciples. And then in verse 20, he switches and he says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The prayers for a unity that is bound up in Jesus and the Father. A unity that looks like Jesus and represents Jesus to the world. It's like an evangelistic thing. I think sometimes when we talk about unity and, you know, love for one another, it can feel like inward focused. But no, Jesus and Paul say no. It's we grow up together in unity and maturity, and we look like Jesus to the world. And they say, hey, you look like Jesus. So what do we do with all this? That's the vision, you know, what I've just described, hopefully, is the vision that Paul gives in Ephesians 4. And I love it. Like, it really inspires me. I love big vision stuff. That really gets me going. Seeing, hey, yeah, this united church, this mature church that looks like Jesus across the world, across differences. But how do we get there? Like, it's impossible for us to even, like, fathom every Christian around the world. Like, that's impossible for our minds to even comprehend, let alone somehow, like, taking responsibility for. And we're going to get all those people together and grow together until we look like Jesus to the world. Like, we can't do that, right? None of us can take responsibility for all of that. So what do we do? We're going to go back to verse 7. And Paul, he's been saying these 1-1-1 things, you know, one spirit, one body, et cetera, et cetera. And then he switches, and the one changes from this commonality language to this individuality language. These are things we have in common, but now he says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. But to each one. So the things we have in common are what bring us together, but we also need our differences. Our differences, is what Paul writes, are needed for the growth of the body. Out of the specificity of who each of us is, we are to contribute uniquely to building up the body of Christ. What do we do? We do our part. That's what Paul says. We do our part. If the church is a body, then we, each of us, are its parts. Like, the body has many parts, and this is a picture that Paul gives lots. We each of us is a part of the body. And Paul actually says that the reason that Christ gave the apostles, the evangelists, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers was to equip each Christian for the work of ministry or service for building up the body of Christ. This is another thing that attracted me to this church. Talking to Pastor Rob, I'm like, he loves doing ministry, but he also loves equipping for people for ministry. He loves giving space for people to grow into what God has called them to do, to build up the church. And that's pastor's job, this says, to equip the people for works of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ until we all come. Guess I'm a pastor now, so I'm going to join in this equipping this morning by saying a couple things. First of all, we need you. The body only builds itself up when each part does its work. And maybe you just feel like a supporting ligament. Well, we need supporting ligaments. There's a song by this band called Kane, and the line is this: the weak need the strong need the weak. We've all got something missing, and we're all the missing piece. You know, none of us is sufficient to unite the whole body around the world and grow into this and represent. None of us is enough for that. But we all are a part. We all are the missing piece. We're all something that is needed. And we make progress toward the goal of maturity when each of us does the work of building up the body. And the second thing I'd say is that the body's big and dynamic and multifaceted. And I know for some people it's difficult to see where you fit in to this building up the body picture. I know that's a struggle for some people. And I just encourage you that, you know, ministry is more than preaching and worship leading or whatever the things that you think of, you know, when you hear ministry. Ministry is more than that. And church is bigger than a building. It's bigger than Sundays. You're called into a body and a family that spans the globe. And that body and family needs you in some way. And it might look traditional. It might look like preaching or worship leading or whatever. And it might look unique. But if it builds up the body of believers in some way, then it's part of the body doing its work. You know, maybe you're better at seeing other people's gifts than your own. You're like, I can see these gifts in other people, but I don't know what's my gift. Well, maybe that's your gift, seeing other people's gifts. So go tell them, encourage them, use that thing that you have, whatever it is, build up the body Maybe it's like, maybe you don't feel polished in your giftings. You're like, yeah, I guess I can do this. It doesn't feel polished. Well, we need people who aren't polished. The best community group I've ever been in was led by this couple who are good friends of ours. And they get tired of people saying this, I think, about them, but they are very just real. They're just real about who they are. And so community group, we would meet together, and they would just start sharing their real highs and lows, and it would open up this amazing space of vulnerability and growth, real growth together. So we need people who are just real. And maybe, you know, as I'm saying, maybe a couple things, like maybe you're like, I don't know, I still don't feel confident in, you know, what my thing is or whatever. Well, you don't need to fit into a list. You don't even need to be super confident in what your giftings are, but we need you as you to contribute to the uniting and the growing of the body. So just start somewhere, you know. You don't have to have it all figured out, like, I am this, but contribute to building up the body. So the last thing I want to say this morning is just that the how we do our work, how we do our building up, is just as important and maybe more important in some ways as the what we do. The picture is of a body that grows and builds itself up in love. And I think that list of characters, of characteristics at the beginning of our passage says this really well and fleshes this out, how we can do these things. It says humility. In humility. That can be a really difficult one for me. I want to be right. I want to win. I want to hold on. Once I've got something, I want to hold on until. But sometimes my holding on gets in the way of what God wants to do. And I just need to be humbled and let go and say, Ben, you don't get to win this time. God needs to win. And humility is a fitting response, isn't it, to our great Lord who humbled himself for us. And it's something, definitely, that contributes to uniting the body, growing us together. Gentleness is another one. That's also hard. The natural response, when you get antagonism, you want to be antagonistic back, right? But what a beautiful way of contributing to the uniting of the body. Harsh thing comes, and none of these I am checked off with. There are struggles. They're difficult fruits of the Spirit to grow in. But when receiving harshness, to respond in gentleness, what a beautiful way to build up the body. Patience. People can be trying. Patience can be hard. But we know a God who's been patient toward us. So patience towards others is a fitting response, and again, a beautiful way of contributing to unity and growth in the body. And then bearing with one another in love, and I think that's kind of a bit of a catch-all. We bear with each other humbly and gently and patiently, and we do everything in love. And the one we already read, making every effort towards unity and peace. And I think the things we just read are some of those efforts. Using the individuality of who we are to build up, and doing that building up with a spirit of bearing with one another in love. Just as we bear with one another in love, so we build up one another in love. Whatever we do, let's do it all in love. Speak the truth in love, grow in love, build one another up in love, do our part in love, serve in love. As the people of God, we're called to make every effort for unity and peace among Christians. And we do that by building one another up from the individuality of who we are, the gifts God has given us, the specificity of who he has made us to be. And we do that by bearing with one another in love, humbly and gently, and patiently. And these are the kind of things that Paul says, they are the things that start. And we can't, none of us, again, as individuals, can take responsibility for this huge vision. But these are the kinds of things that we can do and the kinds of behaviors that we can act that are fitting responses to Jesus and that contribute to this growth into this united, majestic, as Pastor Rob might say, mature, glorious, Christ-representing body around the world. So let's pray. Father, you know, as I'm sharing this, even just as I'm speaking it to people, you know that there, especially in this last section about these characteristics, there are places where I fall short and I don't contribute to unity in the way that you've called me to. And so I pray that you would help us, Holy Spirit. You're our helper. And so I pray that you would pour Jesus' love into our hearts, that we would be transformed by Jesus' love this morning. And that from that place, we could look like Jesus to one another and to grow into this incredible picture that we've just looked at of a united body, mature body, who represents the fullness of you to Jesus. And Jesus, we know that across the world, the church has not looked like you at a lot of times, that we have been very divisive and we have not built one another up and we have not behaved like you to one another. But we do pray. I thank you that you are alive, and we pray for unity in your church. And for each of us too, would you give us clarity as to just something, not the whole thing, but our part, where we can contribute to this unity and to building up your body. In Jesus' name, amen.